This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama, and then our feature, Health and Healing. We shall close with a segment on the Holy Year 2025. I am John Baptist Tumusime. The Holy See Press Office issued a brief statement on Wednesday morning updating Pope Francis's healthy condition. It said the Pope had had a peaceful night and was resting. The statement follows another one that was issued on Tuesday evening, which said the Pope's health remained stable as he continued with the treatment for respiratory problems. The doctors transitioned the Pope to high-flow oxygen therapy, a treatment designed to support his breathing, and he has also undergone respiratory physiotherapy to aid his recovery. Pope Francis was admitted to Gemelli Catholic Hospital in Rome on February 14th for bronchitis. Meanwhile, the Holy See released a text which Pope Francis would have delivered on this Wednesday's midweek general audience had he not been in hospital. The reflection is based on a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 46, from verse 48 to 50, which speaks of Jesus who remained in the temple in Jerusalem after a pilgrimage. His parents looked for him everywhere and only to find him after 3 days. The catechesis was planned to be the last edition of the teaching dedicated to the child Jesus. The Pope noted that the event of Jesus separating himself from the parents presents an interesting dialogue between Mary and him and helps us reflect on the journey of the mother of Jesus. He said Mary's spiritual journey was not an easy one. She had to go to Egypt with Joseph and the infant Jesus to escape King Herod, who wanted to kill the child. When Jesus became an adult, he began his ministry, and the Blessed Virgin Mary was present and a key player at the wedding of Cana. She continued to follow him at a distance until his passion and death on the cross. After the resurrection, the Pope explained, Mary remained in Jerusalem as the mother of the disciples, supporting their faith while awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit. Throughout this journey, Mary was a pilgrim of hope, who became like a daughter of her son in the sense that she was his first disciple. Mary, the Pope added, brought Jesus, the hope of humanity, into the world. She nourished him, raised him, followed him, and allowing herself to be shaped first by the Word of God. Reflecting on Jesus' response to both Joseph and Mary when they found him in the temple, Pope Francis said they did not understand the meaning of what he told them, but kept reflecting on them with the eyes of faith. The Holy Father invited the faithful to follow in the footsteps of the Lord, like Mary and Joseph did. The Catholic Church began the Lenten season this Wednesday, March 5th, with the smearing of ashes on the forehead in preparation for Easter. The season will last 40 days, which represent the 40 days that Jesus spent fasting and praying in the desert before starting his own ministry. The Catholic Church calls upon its members to pray, fast, and to do works of charity. The Catholic Diocese of Auchi in Nigeria has issued a statement saying one of its priests, Father Philip Ekweli, and a major seminarian were kidnapped by gunmen on Monday from St. Peter's Catholic Parish ivuwe kwa ajenobede ini Edo State. The gunmen exchanged fire with the parish guards, but managed to overpower them. The Bishop of Auchi, the Right Reverend Gabriel Dunia, has appealed to the faithful and the people of goodwill to pray for the safe release of the priest and the seminarian. Kidnappings of priests and religious for ransom have become common in Nigeria. Several priests are still in captivity after they and their dear ones failed to pay ransom. The Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Geita in Tanzania, the Right Reverend Flavian Kasala, has praised the missionaries of Africa, commonly known as the White Fathers, for bringing the light of Christ to the country. He made the remarks on Sunday during the launch of the 200th birth anniversary of Cardinal Charles Lavigerie, the founder of the Missionaries of Africa. He said the Missionaries of Africa were interested in the integral development of the person. From the very beginning, they established a school wherever they established a mission so that spiritual nourishment would go hand in hand with intellectual development. Cardinal Lavigerie was born on 31st October 1825 in France. He founded the Missionaries of Africa in 1868 and the Missionary Sisters of Africa in 1869 and commissioned the two congregations to evangelize the African continent. Bishop Kasala said the launch of the celebration of the 200th birth anniversary of Cardinal Lavigerie is about thanking God for his life and contribution to evangelization in Africa, and to pray that the good work he started may continue to bear good fruit, because missionary work continues. The World Food Program, the WFP, has warned that famine is looming in Somalia following a long drought that has left more than 1 million people without food. You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
South Sudanese forces on Tuesday arrested a senior military official allied with First Vice President Riek Machar, while security forces surrounded Machar's residence. The spokesperson of the Vice President said that the action violates the 2018 revitalized agreement on the resolution of conflict in the country. The world's youngest nation has formally been at peace since the 2018 agreement ended a five-year conflict between Machar and President Salva Kiir that killed hundreds of thousands of people, but violence between rival communities flares up frequently. 32 migrants attempting to cross the Mediterranean have been rescued by a non-government organization ship after spending several days stranded on an oil platform off the coast of Tunisia. NGO Sea Watch said it had managed to rescue all 32 people from the gas platform on Tuesday afternoon and that they were being looked after aboard the Aurora ship. But Sea Watch said the Aurora's final destination was unclear as no country nearby had yet assigned the ship a port of safety. Over 210,000 people tried to cross the Central Mediterranean in 2023, according to data shared by the United Nations. More than 60,000 were intercepted and sent back to African shores, and nearly 2,000 lost their lives at sea. The Sahel region of Africa is the epicenter of global terrorism, and now, for the first time, accounts for over half of all terrorism-related deaths. This is according to the Global Terrorism Index, which is a comprehensive study analyzing the impact of terrorism for 163 countries, covering 99.7% of the world's population. It is produced by the Institute for Economics and Peace, using data from Terrorism Tracker and other sources. The latest report says that in this semi-arid area to the south of the Sahara Desert, 3,885 people out of a worldwide total of 7,555 died. The report adds that while the global figure has declined from a peak of 11,000 in 2015, the figure for the Sahel has increased nearly tenfold since 2019 as extremists and insurgent groups continue to shift their focus towards the region. Germany said on Tuesday it had halted new development aid to Rwanda and was reviewing its existing commitments. The German Development Ministry said this development is in response to Rwanda's role in the conflict in neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo. UN experts and Western powers accused Rwanda of backing the M23 rebel group, which has made advances in eastern Congo. Meantime, the United Kingdom government has announced it will not send further payments to Rwanda following the cancellation of the migrant deal between the two countries. The UK government also announced last month it would halt bilateral aid to the East African country. The UK decided to cut aid after accusing the country of supporting the M23 rebel group in the Democratic Republic of Congo's conflict. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now, our feature, Health and Healing. Every year, the international community marks World Diabetes Day on November 14th. This year's theme is Diabetes and Well-being. This theme centers on people being able to access diabetes care and support so that everyone with diabetes has the chance to live well. World Diabetes Day is marked every year to raise awareness of diabetes as a global public health issue and what needs to be done for better prevention, diagnosis, and management of the condition. There are three main types of diabetes: type 1, type 2, and gestational diabetes, which develops in women who are pregnant. The most common and most dangerous ones, however, are type 1 and type 2. Both types can lead to high blood sugar levels, which, if not controlled, can cause serious health complications affecting various organs of the body. Dr. Bente Mikkelsen is the director of the World Health Organization's Department for Non-Communicable Diseases. She says diabetes is increasingly becoming an issue of serious concern worldwide.
Since 2014, 422 million people are estimated to live with diabetes. And this is a very rapid development, because if you look at 1980, we had around 108 million. And we know that this is unfortunately on the rise. So when we are speaking today, we are really speaking about something that is affecting so many people. What is especially very concerning is that if you look at non-communicable diseases in total, diabetes is the only one that is still on the rise when it comes to killing people before the age of 70. So cardiovascular diseases, cancer, and chronic respiratory diseases is sort of improving, while diabetes is unfortunately on the rise. The information or the awareness of diabetes is not as high as we wish it to be. People know about type 1 diabetes, but what is really the most frequent form of diabetes is type 2. So type 1 is not preventable. We don't really know why we get type 1, while type 2 is often preventable through healthy diet, regular physical activity, and also maintaining healthy body weight and avoiding tobacco use.
Reports from different countries show that the number of diabetes patients is increasing. Dr. Bent explains why.
It's the way we live. We have a different lifestyle. One of the main things is lack of physical activity, and shift in how we eat. That is very important. I want to emphasize that all diabetes is treatable. It's the way we live that we need to address. It's also, of course, the way that our environment is acting. We need the protection from government. We need to address the commercial determinants of health, which actually wants us to have more sugar, more fat, and influence us in a very bad way. So the way to cope with all of this is, first of all, of course, the awareness raising, to train people to understand how they can help themselves. But it's also to put commitments on the government to reduce the pressure of the single person on all the negative influence. and also to influence from our end through regulations the private sector, but also in the positive way to influence and get commitments from the private sector to lower the prices and make glucose meters, insulin, the sticks and everything available for patients.
Diabetes occurs when the pancreas does not produce enough insulin or when the body cannot effectively use the insulin it produces. Insulin is a hormone that regulates the amount of sugar levels in our bloodstream. Dr. Bente explains why it is important for diabetic patients to access insulin.
We are not able to utilize sugar if we don't have insulin. Patients with type 1 diabetes will actually die if they don't get insulin. Insulin is also very much needed for type 2 diabetes patients, not all of them. And it's not only just to get it once in a while, it has to be a regular supply. So this is a life-saving commodity. What we see now in the humanitarian crisis around the world, we see people dying because of a stop of insulin. Insulin is very, very important. It should be on the list that is absolutely basic for any country everywhere in the world. This should be free for the world. So that is really a basis. Approximately only 50% of those who are in need of insulin at the moment are able to access insulin. We are working so hard to try to get the commitments from the producers of human insulin, and we have managed that to some extent. So there are good news. We want to have local production. It's happening now in Egypt and in South Africa.
Medical research has shown that type 1 diabetes is not preventable and reversible, but type 2 is if we address the risk factors. According to the World Health Organization, the increase in the number of diabetes cases in the world is a sign that many people are not addressing the risk factors. In the past 10 years, developing countries have had more diabetes cases than developed countries. Dr. Bent says there is a need for more awareness campaigns.
It's not always easy to know that you have diabetes. So there is a need for an awareness in the health system as such, from the pregnancy and through the whole life course, because type 1 comes, of course, early age, but type 2 can come in any age. So there is a need to understand. So many of the symptoms are very vague. It can be mood changes. People can be aggressive. They can be depressed. They can have fatigue. They can feel dizzy. They can collapse. There are many, many, many different reasons. Some people are actually diagnosed because there are changes with their eyes. Some are diagnosed because of the kidney changes. Maybe they actually introduce themselves with their complication. But to find out if we have diabetes is very simple. So it's actually a blood test that will help and a urine test. So it's not a difficult way to actually get the diagnosis, but it can be very difficult because the symptoms are vague. If you are on a regular check at your doctor's, it's important that maybe yourself can raise it or talk about it. Again, it's about public education. It's about inspiring advocates, people talk about it. But it's also, of course, health literacy that we need to educate those at risk or to try to reduce the risk factors in general.
Dr. Bente Mikkelsen, the director of the World Health Organization's Department for Non-Communicable Diseases. And that was Health and Healing for this week.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views, and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025.
Pilgrims of Hope, I welcome you to another segment of our weekly journey of hope on the ongoing Jubilee Year of 2025. I am Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, and I'm here once again to accompany you on this journey of hope towards Christ. Following the hospitalization of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, the Jubilee audience, which was scheduled for Saturday, 1st March 2025, was cancelled because of the unavoidable absence of the Holy Father. But that does not mean the cancellation of other Jubilee events according to the Jubilee calendar. Hence, different parishes have organized pilgrimages as a group participating on the ongoing Jubilee year of 2025. For this reason, on the 2nd of March 2025, St. Peter's Basilica, Vatican City, was filled with pilgrims, most of whom were parishioners, with their parish priests, who have come from their different parishes to make pilgrimages through the Holy Door. Provisions were made for confessions and reconciliations. Many of these parishes also joined the 10:30 a.m. Holy Mass celebrated inside the Basilica of St. Peter's, Vatican City, as everywhere was almost filled to the brim during the Holy Mass. Parishes outside Rome also were not left behind, as the Jubilee is not celebrated just in Rome, but also in other dioceses. Today, we have a report from the Diocese of Livingstone, Zambia, sharing their experience and participations so far on the Jubilee celebration. May we listen to Father Clifford Mulasikwanda, the Vicar General of Livingstone Diocese, in his interview with Mr. Mike Mumba on the events.
The Church throughout the world is celebrating the Jubilee 2025 Pilgrims of Hope. In the Catholic Diocese of Livingstone, the Church is responding to the call by Pope Francis to celebrate this Jubilee of Hope. On the 28th of December 2024, the Catholic Diocese of Livingstone Bishop, the Right Reverend Valentine Kalumba, OMI, opened the Jubilee officially in the Diocese of Livingstone with a solemn celebration of the Holy Mass. And following the official launch of the Jubilee in the Diocese of Livingstone, different parishioners have responded to the message of living out the Jubilee message. With me here, I have Mr. Mick Mumba, who is a member of the men's group and a member of the Charismatic Renewal Group, who took part in the first ever pilgrimage held from St. Rita's Cathedral to Maramba Parish, one of the earliest churches in the Diocese of Livingstone. He now shares his experience about this pilgrimage, which took place on 18th January 2025.
It was a good feeling, Father. First of all, a Jubilee is a celebration. It is a time that brings rest, a time that brings a lot of joy. If you look at when our Catholic Church started to celebrate a Jubilee, this was a year when, debt was being cancelled. When we were journeying to Maramba with the other parishioners, we were filled with hope, and we are very expectant. And we believe that this year is a year definitely of reward. This year is a year of a lot of hope, is a year that is bringing a lot of joy to each and every parishioner.
Now, I know when you took that pilgrimage to Maramba, going to pray at the Marian Shrine, what was the experience like, especially when it was raining that day of the pilgrimage?
So on the 18th of January, it actually started raining when we were actually halfway to Maramba. And I must say, the time that we were reaching Maramba, we were all soaked. Okay, so despite the rains, you know, we counted that as a blessing. If you look at the Bible, there are so many ways that God was journeying with the Christians. You'd find at night it was a pillar of fire, during the day a pillar of cloud, and even us that day, He showed us, you know, in the form of rain. So we indeed journeyed with Him on that day.
And in Zambia, we know that this was a moment of grace, because knowing that last year we didn't receive any rains, so we can say no hope is indeed lost. The Lord blessed the people even as they were going on pilgrimage to Maramba Parish. Indeed, the Catholic Diocese of Livingstone has embraced the message of roaring out hope to various groups of people.
Thank you so much, Father Clifford Mulasikwanda, for allowing us share in the experience of the Catholic Christians of Livingstone Diocese, Zambia, on this journey of hope. And this brings us to the end of today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope, as we continue to journey in hope towards Christ and also pray for the quick recovery of our Holy Father, Pope Francis. I hope to meet you once again at this same time, same station, next week. I still remain your companion on the journey, Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe. Jubilee Prayer.
Father in heaven, let the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Culture and Society. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.